You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Vanguard News Network.
Guy that wrote, oh, it was a kike that wrote Hustle and Flow. He's written a bunch of these fucking nigger rap movies.
Oh, that was the one. That was the song that won an award at one of those shows.
Yeah, fucking bullshit. God. I mean, the
movies. This is the kind of degenerate shit you get in a late Weimar where your parasitic aliens are running your media, endlessly showing you this. They're just rubbing shit in your face, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
No one ever got better by mixing with niggers. They're fucking, the niggers are gang rapists. That's what they ought to be writing movies about, or we ought to. Even if they can't get distributed, like Shannon Christian and Chris Newsom.
And one thing black people understand is if you talk to them about that first game in the beginning of the year on NFL, when I guess it was Atlanta, played New Orleans on Monday Night Football or something like that, and Atlanta lost.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, you know, they had Spike Lee on there. Oh, Spike Lee's going to expose, you know, everything. And they just made the whole game about the... it was just sick.
What's the first movie he did? It was like Make a Difference or something. What was it called?
I don't know. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was.
I've never seen one of his movies.
It's pretty interesting to watch. It's
basically the point of this movie is it's got a black man with a white woman chained up by a black man.
And that's all the brothers
are going to see, and that's what they're going to take from it. The rest of it's bullshit.
And the only reason he's pretense for why he's doing that is he's gonna change her from allowing men to hurt her, right? I mean, that's what I got from the trailer.
Yeah.
But it's like a underlying race mixing theme. I mean, they're doing that to make it provocative. Simply having a nigger in there. I mean, that's the only reason they decided to put a nigger in there opposite the white woman. But, you know, I'm sure there's going to be some
everything is pointing
moral
towards race mixing now.
Yeah, and they're just, they're not
well,
even
they're,
necessarily...
They're porn. I've said this before, and I'm going to keep saying it. Their porn encourages black-on-white rape, gang rape, exactly with the humiliation of the white male and the degradation of the white female. And that's exactly what happened in that Shannon Christian and Chris Newsom case, which the media then covers up. I mean, I don't think people understand how vicious and open this war is, because it simply is. It doesn't appear on TV. All you see are these clouded forms. And, you know, endless, who cares about Anna Nicole Smith? They go off on that for weeks. They haven't said one thing about this really vicious, sadistic, I mean, cutting off the guy's penis,
never,
you know, cutting off her breast, dumping chemicals on him, gang raping him, sodomizing him. Not a
Nancy
word about
Grace
that.
Nancy Grace would never cover that.
Nope.
And,
she's so brave, though. She has a 100% conviction record. Well, why wouldn't she dare to talk about niggers gang raping whites?
And then
she's not brave.
She got caught lying about her husband's murder, and she had been dramatizing it and just kind of got exposed as a big liar. But,
how was that? Tell me that, because someone I know really
there's,
likes her.
There's an article, and... I'll see if I can find it.
You got to post that on the forum if you could. I'd like to see that.
You banned me.
I banned you. What name are you on there under?
Let's see. The last one. I was a kosher Nazi for a little while, and I got banned. And then It's In My Blood is my next one. But I was.
I don't remember why.
Remember when Browner was being attacked on the paper and kind of viciously?
Yeah. Which paper? The most recent one or a while back?
Before that. And there was a lot of attack. There was just a huge attack on him. And, you know, in defending him, I probably said some inappropriate
things. I don't know. That sounds like it was a while back.
Yeah, it's a while ago. Yeah.
I might have banned you, but it might have been someone else, too.
Just giving you a hard time. Yeah.
No, I don't know. Well, I'd like to see that article, though, if you have a link to it.
Yeah.
Post on the Skype chat or something, and I'll read it up. But, yeah, these they get the, you know, the large percentage of America that feels is very authoritarian, and they channel that. Just as they mischannel their sexual impulse, they channel their authoritarian impulse into getting angry at white males. You know, for being serial killers or for being child molesters. Oh, and yeah. And it doesn't matter how many times we post that the facts show otherwise, that those are disproportionately black and minority crimes, like every other subset of crime, they continue to believe it. And boy, are they sure. That people are never so sure as when they're repeating something they've seen on TV.
Exactly.
They absolutely know it's a fact. And I see that
on
Kirksville today all the time, and I say, no, you know, hey, buddy, it ain't what you don't know. It's what you know that just ain't so.
I just wanted to say...
That's from Twain.
Sorry for eating on the air. I didn't have my mic muted, so everybody heard me stuffing my face for a second. I'm freaking
starving.
You
need a large tumbler
here,
full of a... Yeah, that's fine.
I didn't realize that there was going to be no Free Talk Live.
We don't have any commercial breaks here, so...
I stepped in and...
You don't have a time
exactly.
to...
Exactly. I would put a break in there if I was hosting the show, but just doing the technical end of it tonight. I want to try to do a Wednesday Free Talk Live.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. In fact, I was going to ask you if you wanted to host a show, and I know that now that we've hit on kind of the one-point way of doing it, and for those of you listening, if we got people who have something to say, we try not to waste people's time. We don't come on unless we have something to say in exchange for your time. So, yeah, that'd be ideal.
Except for crypto.
Yeah, she's not going to get on mine. Sorry. Dietrich can have her on.
Crypto has the her own special phone number, right? Because she can't work Skype.
I can't answer that. You got to talk to the man, Dietrich, about that. And again, we put the number out there, so I suppose anyone simply could call. Though, as Jeff says, he likes to have people Skype chat first.
I mean, if she wants to call my show, end up doing a show and she wants to call, I'll let her on for maybe 5 minutes.
Right, right. Yeah.
I'm not going to let her on for half an hour.
Here, let me explain to people what we're trying to do. We're trying to get to where we would have radio, maybe a few hours of original stuff each weeknight. And we'd like to have regulars call in and talk so that there's some kind of community sustained and built up. At the same time, we'd like to have it like conventional where people just call in for a couple minutes, then we cut them off. So that's kind of the direction we're going to head. And
I think people are enjoying it. I think they like
it. We won't go on and on and on forever with every single caller. So don't take it personally. The host has to be kind of a benevolent Hitler, to be redundant.
Yeah, I mean, if she wants to call and say something and if she has a specific point to make or something decent to say, but then again, she talks in fucking like nigger slang, and I simply don't want to listen to that.
Right.
I
it's like
Detroit.
Really fast, and you can't.
Yeah, you
got to
hear that all day. Huh?
Yeah, I got to hear that shit all day long, and I think a lot of people do.
Hey, have you been doing it? And you do a perfect nigger. I mean, it is one of the best I've ever heard.
All right, thanks. And man. Appreciate that shit.
You need some Lucy's, bro, because I can pull over.
Lucy, man. Hey, stop at this gas station right quick, man. I need some Lucy, nigga.
Good, man.
Shit.
What's a Lucy?
That shit was last week.
A Lucy is a cigarette sold by the individual cigarette at the gas stations in Detroit. And they do it everywhere, pretty much. But you obviously didn't hear the last Free Talk Live or something like that. We were talking about it. Yeah, I used to work with the niggers in Detroit, and they... You know, would dig change out of the truck because we'd drive a truck around and they'd dig change out of the seat cushions in the trucks and they'd be like, you know, I got like 65 cents. I could get like 2 cigarettes and shit. Pull over at this one gas station right here. They sell Lucy's up in this motherfucker. Yeah, I mean, I got to get my nicotine on and shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't work.
You got to do some stuff for that we can throw into like Goyfire and stuff. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, Craig's gonna have me read some essays by a nigger named Smooth B from the Onion.
These niggers are choice.
You guys remember the like it's like a Delta airline ad, and it's a black guy saying "Welcome to Delta." You guys
We fly your ass all over to this motherfucker.
We
be flying your ass to all your hoes and shit. Yeah, that's a pretty funny, it's like a Flash animation.
Have you seen that movie Soul Plane?
I saw the
what was that one?
Ads for it.
This but what about
just like 10 minutes
what,
of it.
What about Airplane 1 where they go back to, you know, the black guy's sick? Man, we go to home back and shit. It's okay, I speak jive. Niggas say he be toe up inside.
Mm-hmm.
My insides be toe up and shitting. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I got someone else volunteering to do a show on maybe Sunday, so I'll talk to him about
that,
too. So pick your slot.
24/7 hate.
Truth.
So, yeah.
truth and free speech in its most purest form, which is strange. Right.
And people around the country, too. Like, I have never really been to Detroit, but I feel like I know Detroit, and just as I feel I know, and beginning to know, the Jew-infested Catskill Mountains.
Yeah.
And that region from listening to Yankee Jim and other different areas. And we got, you know, on the local blogs, we got the Toledo one also, a place in Florida, so...
Another good way to learn Detroit is look up your local listings. If you have cable, there's two different shows which are really interesting if you want to learn more about Detroit. One is Animal Cops Detroit, which is on the Animal Planet channel. And you'll see how niggers treat their animals. And they don't treat their children much better, but they treat their animals even worse. And it's pretty, actually, if you're an animal lover, it can bring tears to your eyes if you watch that show. But Animal Cops Detroit is a good one. And also, Detroit SWAT is another one. I think that's on A&E. I'm pretty sure that's on A&E.
Yeah, I can't watch that fucking, it's just depressing.
It's slightly entertaining to me just because, I watch the shows and I'm I know where that is, you know, I fucking drove by there today or whatever, and but no, it is pretty depressing. Yeah, no, I wouldn't recommend it. Watching.
No, I know someone I know, I think down in Texas, they were telling me that the blacks were like throwing unwanted dogs out in the freeway.
Was I posted on my blog. They found a dog. These niggers apparently have enough brains to understand that if something dies, you're supposed to bring it to the cemetery. So these niggers' dogs are dying, and they you know, you can drive into any cemetery. There's no gate or anything, and they just dump their dead dogs behind a building or right out in the middle of the road. On my blog, I put a story of they found this dead dog who was fucking frozen. They dumped the doghouse and everything in the middle of one of the roads in the cemetery, just right in the middle of the road. They just dumped the whole doghouse with the dead dog and everything in the middle of it. And the fucking dog was frozen to the floor of the doghouse.
They could be conservating that shit.
Yeah, and then they interviewed the nigger caretaker of the cemetery or whatever, curator, or I don't know what you would call a director of a cemetery. But he's like, yeah, there's been people dumping their animals all over this cemetery, their dead animals. Mm-hmm. You know, there's proper places you can dispose of animals. This, certainly dumping them off in the cemetery is not the right way to handle it. It's pretty funny. I mean,
niggas
what do you
need
say
a dog
about that?
Dump.
I mean, that's the way niggers treat their animals. It's like just let them die. I mean, I work in Detroit, and I see the way they treat their animals. I mean, most of them simply chain their dogs up in the back corner of their backyard or their house, and on a 6-foot chain. And all it has is usually they're heavy ass chains, man, because they make it look tough and shit, you know. their dog look tougher if it's got a heavy chain on it. But usually the reason they do that is because the dog turned out to be not as vicious as they thought it was going to be, because dogs by nature are domesticated, and unless you really train them to be vicious dogs, they're simply not going to be vicious. So these niggers aren't smart enough to train their dogs to be vicious. So the dog just turns out to be an average, you know, house pet, and they're like, fuck this shit. So they just put him in the back corner on a chain, and they bring him out food and water. And, I mean, this one dog was literally in a foot-deep pit. It was on a 6-foot chain. This dog was in a foot-deep pit of, you know, it was like a dugout of where the animal could roam. It was like a little semicircle in the corner of this yard, and it was a foot deep. I mean, all the animal did was walk back and forth all day. I fucking wanted to just go set it free, you know? I mean, it's fucking disgusting. They treat their animals in, you know, what's the old saying? You can judge a society or a group of people by the way they treat the animals. And I think that's really true. And just go drive down to Detroit or watch Animal Cops Detroit, and you'll see.
I've seen the same thing in St. Louis. I mean, this fucking nigger is this. I heard the screeching, and I came out, and I had to separate. This girl, white girl, has a white dog. This was years ago, back in the 90s, and
a hateful dog.
The fucking Germans, or what was it?
Rottweiler.
The stupid nigger had like a rot German Shepherd, some kind of mix of one of them. It was a big, heavy dog, and it had bitten the little like white poodle dog and put a nice big, hole in its forearm or whatever the hell you call it, paw, not paw but arm, and you know. They're just fucking dumb. They do exactly what you say. They just lock their dogs up. They want to be tough, so they get these dogs. And unfortunately, some whites are like that, but it by no means is it anywhere near the same level. But all these are just manifestations of low IQ and basic savagery.
Yeah.
And we don't need them around us. And they weren't around us. We kept them segregated when we controlled our own country. But now under the Jews, we are forcibly mixed with this kind of clown. Animal abusers and...
There's just no point to it. I mean, if you're going to have a... I mean, okay, yeah, you know, white hunters have a shitload of beagles that they might, you know, cage up and stuff like that. But at least the dogs get to go out and go hunting every once in a while. At least they get some freedom, you know, I mean... And that's a dog that's used for a purpose, and they have, you know, 20 of them. So, I mean, it might not be a necessity, but I can guarantee you they treat their hunting dogs a shitload better than these niggers treat their one dog that they have, which, I mean, for fuck's sake. And well, the story that I posted on my blog was that the fact that there's these animals that are just freezing to death. I mean, it's Detroit. It gets down to, there's weeks where we have zero degree weather for, you know, two weeks straight. And these niggers don't understand. Oh, and in the story, they were like quoting some, somebody from the ASPCA or the Humane Society or whatever. And he was like, "You have to just think of treating these dogs like they're living creatures." It's like, you need to fucking tell people this shit. They're breathing, they eat, they shit, and they sleep. It's like, that's a living creature.
You don't need to tell people that, but
well, exactly. It's like you feel the need to even say that is very telling of the IQ and mentality of an average Detroit nigger, you know.
That's the problem. They're just not very educable.
Yeah, so like I said, they don't treat their children much better. Just read my blog, you'll see what I'm talking about. You'll see what I'm. I just posted this story on my blog of this fucking nigger, you know.
Did you have the one with a guy getting his hand cut off? in the van.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's
the
a pretty
kids
funny
had to
story,
see
man.
That. Oh.
Can you imagine something like that happening in, like, a white, you know, a nice
wouldn't
white suburban...
Wouldn't happen here in Forsyth County, Georgia, no.
Yeah, you can't imagine some shit like that would happen. What happened, in case anybody hasn't seen it, is I guess this, they got into domestic, you know, altercation, apparently, this baby mama and this baby daddy. And she, you know, this nigger was probably trying to beat on her or something through the car window. She rolled the car window up on his hand and fucking drove off and crashed into a fence and fucking severed the guy's hand. And then the cops recover it so that they could reattach it to the nigger because he needs his hand and shit so he can do service jobs.
Oh, man. Someone just sent me a site called Niggaspace. Oh, my God. Do we have a thread for this show on the forum?
Yeah, it's on the...
Where is this?
This just in. It's why is tonight's Free Talk Live a rebroadcast? It's like the one of the first ones on this.
Hold on.
It's not an official thread, but...
Well, I'm gonna post it.
Alex, I like all the media you guys have been putting up. And on Martin Luther King Day, I was able to listen to the broadcast.
Yeah,
and,
that,
on New Year's
credit
Day.
Credit to Jeff Beck for that. Yeah, he's put that together, and I know he's got something big planned for Rockwell's Day. And what is that?
Right.
March 9th, something like that.
It's coming up soon, yeah.
And... yeah,
Rockwell
absolutely.
Made good speeches.
Yeah, a lot of people have been liking that. I'm posting Niggaspace here, and let me see what else. Yeah, I'll just post Niggaspace.
What's on the Niggaspace, Dale? Hoes, guns, chicken.
There's a poll on...
dogs and shit.
Damn it, I'm getting rid of my... Hey, one thing, on I'd like people to keep their signatures fairly small so we don't have to page through a whole screen.
Right.
We were cracking down on that a little bit. I'm getting rid of mine. I don't know why. It seems like it's taken up. Even though I got one line, it's still taking up a third of a screen.
Yankee Jim's going to come on.
Mine's kind of large. I'll try to cut it back.
It's, I'm not sure why it jumps like that. It should be right at the bottom on mine, but it's not. Anyway,
some people, really have that, you know, it's like a page long of quotes and links. It's like, my God.
Jim's an offender in that area. No, that bad. His isn't that bad. But.
No, White Power 1488, he may have been banned, I'm not sure, but he had one that took up literally a whole screen. And you got to see that every single time someone makes a comment, and it's always the people with the longest signatures that make the shortest comments. So the point is you want to get...
Say like three words.
It is, it's like a damn law. And you want to get...
Right on.
You know, just have respect. It's called don't be a nigger. Have respect for other people. They don't want to scroll forever.
You'd be tying up a fan with this shit, man.
Make good comments. Have a couple lines for a cig. That's all you need, really.
Holy shit, this is pretty funny, Alex.
I haven't looked through it. Someone just sent it to me. I'm getting Skyped by more people than... I'm getting Skyped like...
I might have to
that antelope getting
shit.
Spear-chucked in Africa audio.
It's like...
That thing had to be just like, what the fuck? How many niggers are out here?
You know what?
I mean, you figure you sprint like at top speed for 300 yards, and you're like, fuck, are these niggers ever going to end? God, it's the like horror that must have been going through that antelope's mind.
When you watch that movie,
that'd be the worst way to go.
That well, I was fucking an elephant that they were, like, just, I mean, how many spears do you have to throw at an elephant to take it down? I mean, how many do you think it would take? Thousands. Fucking thousands.
Well,
elephants just sitting there, just taking it. And it was just like a metaphor for white culture. I just pictured, you know, white culture as the elephant and just sitting there. And just kind of like every once in a while it would like, you know, make a little, you know, stampede towards them and then it'd back off. And then they'd throw some more spears at it. And then it's like, you know, that's what we are. We're that fucking elephant. And they're just chucking spears at us, wearing us down little by little. But,
And you see it in corporate America. In corporate America, you have a team, and it's a multicultural team, and you've got a female manager and a couple of white guys to do the thinking, and then you've got four or five black females there to do the actual typing on the computer.
You know, I say the worst thing about that whole team thing is
that's
so
always a requirement in every job. In every job description you read, they always put that in there. They don't do it so much anymore, but for a long time, must be a team player. Must be a team player.
Well, I'm in college right now, and they make me, and it's like, I dread the point where the teacher says you have to do a team project or something like that, and I just look around for all the white people around me. I'm like, you, you're on my team right now, you know, because I literally do that. Like, I'll look at all the white people. Like, it's funny. I can
see, they'll fix that in corporate America when you get a real job.
No.
they don't let you.
Teams. As long as I list teams, I look around and I just make sure I just tune out all the niggers. I don't even give them a look. And I just, like, let's make a team right now. And all the white people around me like it because they're thinking the same thing, but they won't do it. They're looking around going, oh, shit, like, we got to do a fucking team project with these niggers. And I just go, you, we're making a team right now. And they're like, yeah, I'm on board, man.
Fuck
and
yeah.
Niggers, and shit, man.
That kind of seizing the initiative and dominating the scene is exactly what needs to be done. That's the whole fucking point of VNN. I mean, we have to fucking take it back. These pussies that you see, Hannity and them, man, they're sold tools. They don't care about you. They're feeding off the system that is killing the rest of us. So... be bold in your own sphere and lead the way, because you know the truth after listening to shows like this. We don't have to make anything up.
It's fun to share the show with other people that are, you know, just beginning to wake up, and just shocks them so much. And because you can't hear this anywhere. You can't hear this on the TV, on the radio.
All verifiable, right?
Yeah,
all verifiable. When for example, we're talking about, and it's funny. Like the guy writes in
the
Channing Christian stuff, and they act like, well, I didn't see it on CNN. It can't exist then,
right?
Do you realize what a small thimbleful of reality gets onto TV? I mean, there is all kinds of stuff.
Oprah don't lie.
That's never reported. Oprah don't lie, baby.
How come I be hearing about the Holocaust?
Yeah, there's a black Holocaust too. We want our damn Holocaust reparations shit.
I was on one of those trains in Atlanta, the MARTA train, and we nicknamed it "Moving Africans Rapidly Through Atlanta." Coming out from the airport one time, and for the first time, I saw this black guy. I saw this T-shirt with, you know, got our 400 years and shit. There's something about we owe you money, you know, because we enslaved you 400 years ago and they hadn't got paid. But I was like,
I just always think of the nigger with the white girl they are interviewing at in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina.
I've seen that.
How much would you like, sir? You know, he's all pissed. Man, I want my fucking money. They ain't giving me my $7,000 on my car. What would make you happy, sir? I want $40,000. I want $40,000. And I want some, I mean, just give us the fuck we want, what the fuck we deserve.
And then he gets cut off. Like, oh,
yeah.
Ho, ho, ho.
It's understandable, sir, that you're upset.
Yeah.
This is Yankee. It's Jim.
Hey, Yankee Jim.
Where you from, Yankee Jim?
Jew-infested Catskills. and boy, are they. It's spreading like cancer up here. The Hudson Valley, they're everywhere.
Kikes are multiplying.
They're
like
everywhere.
Orcs.
They plundered the Long Island area and the New York City area. They're on their way up here to do the same thing.
My sister moved from Birmingham.
Long-nosed locust.
My sister moved from Birmingham, Alabama to Long Island, and not long after she was up there, she said something like, you know, people here are very self-centered or something. She couldn't quite come up with the right word, and I didn't even know it at the time, but I've pointed out to her since. I was just, you're in the midst of all
the... What town is she near?
Well, she's on Long Island. I don't know what town.
Because, you know, it's about 110-mile Long Island there. It's a pretty big place.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't been there yet.
Yeah.
But she was just saying how, you know, basically everybody was assholes in New York. And you know.
I'll attest to that. There are quite a few of them in my wife's family, too, by the way. They're nice people, but they're assholes. I mean, you can be both.
And I didn't feel like that. When I went to New York and I went to New Jersey, and I thought everybody was, it was refreshing for a Southerner to be up there because they were just kind of straightforward. And you ask them, which way is the train station, and they point you there, and you go, and you're there. And you ask somebody in the South, you know, a question, and they'll tell you how to build a watch, you know. Ask them what time it is, they'll tell you how to build a watch. But up in New York, I kind of enjoyed it myself.
That's kind of how Detroit is, too. I mean, I know a lot of people that have come here from other states, and they're like, man, people here are just dicks, man. They're not like the outright... I guess it's different than in New York, because like here we simply do it as a survival mechanism because we've got so many damn niggers around here that want to, want to fuck
you're
you
a little
over,
faster
especially
paced.
If you're white. Yeah, and I mean, well, you know, a lot of people come here and they're just like, man, these people are just rude here. They're not friendly at all. I'm like, what do you expect, man? We got fucking 800,000 niggers living 15 minutes away. How do you expect us to act, you know?
Who's got time to be friendly?
No shit, man. I'm worried
you
about...
be watching your back, you shit, nigga.
Yeah. Gotta watch your ass, because some nigga might fucking shoot you, rape you, and chemical
best
on your
scared
ass.
Nigger in a series.
Yeah.
The out-of-towners, those are the ones that niggers in Detroit and Long Island and everywhere, they prey. Those are the ones they prey on. They can tell they're the weaker animals in the jungle. They can tell they don't belong there.
I bring these things up to, you know, that I see on your blog, like a man has hand cut off in Detroit, and I've got a girl that's on my quote-unquote team, and she's I think she's just basically from Michigan, but I'll bring up, you know, did you hear about the guy that lost his hand? Because she'll talk kind of romantically about the old days, you know, but I have to remind her that it's really bad right now, and that's probably why you left, to come down south. To Atlanta because it was so unbearable where you were.
Why would anyone want to go to Atlanta? That's what I can't figure out.
Well, it's from the frying pan into the fire, but
yeah.
For whites on the in the suburbs, it is where you want to be. That's where people are. I mean, all the blacks are.
Yeah, isn't there an area that's? I was just reading just recently. I think it's a little northeast of the city. There, it's pretty much it's all white, and
that's where I live.
What was I reading? What we were reading about it. Somebody put it up on the VNNforum.com.
There's Cumming, Georgia, is the town, and then the county is Forsyth County, and that's where Oprah came to bring diversity to us when she found out that it was like 99% white.
Yeah.
And so now we're down to like 98. But
I
don't think that's the 2000 census, so that's old. I'm sure now it's 90, would be my guess.
Yeah.
90% white, but yeah.
They're getting out the hood.
Yeah, Oprah came and she feared for her life, and she came out here and demonstrated against the obvious racism that must exist since we were 99% white. It's just because the blacks hadn't found us yet.
Yeah.
But now they have. Go ahead.
I used to go down there often from Detroit metro area, from the airport. I used to go right down to the Atlanta airport back in 1979 and 1980. And if I'm not mistaken, they were starting to build the second circle. Does that sound about right? I haven't been down there in many
years.
Yeah,
they gave up on that because they only had money to do the white areas. So up on the top of the perimeter and around the sides, but they didn't have enough money to.
I remember
the black
turning.
Counties said they quit, and they I think they said something about it being racist if they only did half of it, so we couldn't do just half for the white people to get around. We could only do it if we did all of it, and the black people couldn't pay their share. And there's of course a constant battle with how far does MARTA go out? Does MARTA go out up 400 for 10 miles, or does it go for 20 or 25? And of course, nobody wants it, but somehow it always moves forward a little bit at a time.
When you just said the black people couldn't pay their fair share, you just reminded me of a cute little story up here that I can relate to. You guys want to hear it? It'll take me about a minute.
Yeah.
There's a lot of race mixing going on here, and there's a little boy up the road, and his name was Johnny, and he was half Jewish and half black. And he went up to his mother one day and he said, Mama, I want to know if I'm half black or if I'm more black or if I'm more Jewish. And she said, well, look, Johnny, you're equal. And even so, I don't see that it matters. We're all the same. You just happen to be half black and half Jewish. And she says, well, why do you really want to know? And he said, well, little Jimmy up the road, he's got a bicycle for sale. And I'm trying to figure out if he wants $50 for the bike, and I'm trying to figure out if I should Jew him down to 25 or steal the motherfucker. But
the joke about the nigger and the Pollock running through the tunnel and who finished first? The Pollock, because the nigger had to stop and spray paint motherfucker.
I'm sorry, I just in a rip roaring mood tonight.
They do love spraying obscenities on the side of the
walls.
Yeah, the Errol Flynn's and shit.
Yeah.
That's the Errol Flynn's.
Yeah, I was driving down to work today and I saw a new piece of graffiti someone just put on a wall. It simply says the word fuck, and then they drew a little like hand giving the middle finger under it. Like, it's a little like shitty drawn, you know, in spray paint, like hand with a little finger coming up from it. It's like,
Urban Odd.
Christ, man.
That's the best we could be doing it, shit, man.
As Urban Odd.
Actually, it's kind of funny. When I drive down to Detroit every day, I go down a freeway called the Southfield Freeway, and on the side of one of the overpasses...
M39, am I correct?
Yes, you are. on the side of one of the overpasses, somebody wrote www.natvan.com.
And damn.
Yeah, and it's like kind of you wouldn't know what it was unless you knew what natvan.com was, but someone tried to get rid of it, like sandblasted or something, and they did probably did a half-assed job of it, so it's still kind of there, but yeah, it's pretty funny. I drive down there, and I see that every day. I'm like, man, somebody as they were leaving Detroit, you know, fleeing from Detroit, left a remnant for me, I guess. But yeah, it's kind of funny, and then you see that, and then you see the fucking nigga and black power fists everywhere. I gotta go. There's this party store I drive by every day. It's got a big black power fist on the front door.
Party.
Does that say welcome white people to you?
Party store.
It's my liquor store.
Come on
for
in,
blacks
okay.
Only.
And your money.
We ain't got nothing but Slim Jims and malt liquor up in this motherfucker.
Get the fuck on in here.
Yeah. And swishes.
And some skins. Let me get a bag of skins with some hot sauce. For those who are unaware of the fact of what skins are, the niggers, when I grew up in Detroit back in the 60s and the 70s, the niggers used to call pork rinds. They'd have the little bags of pork rinds for, I think they were either 5 cents or even a dime, and the niggers called them skins. They'd walk them. In essence, that's what they are. They're the skin of a pig, I guess, and they'd include a little packet of hot sauce. And why do niggers have to have hot sauce on everything, by the way? speaking of
which. I don't know, man. Maybe their taste buds aren't as developed or something. But you're right. They're obsessed with hot sauce. I mean, they have every goddamn thing.
They like Chinese food. Let me get a bag of skins with hot sauce.
You've never said, like, black female. If you don't work in corporate America, but black females love Chinese food. They always go for that as a group.
You're going to get Chinese some chicken fried rice, nigga.
Yeah.
Exactly. I used to work for a Jew, and he had a pretty good sense of humor, and I went right up to him once when I got comfortable with him, and I just flat-out cornered him and caught him completely off guard. I just walked right up and said, "Hey, Mike, what the fuck is with you Jews in this fucking Chinese food, by the way?" And he just shot right back, didn't hesitate. He said, "Oh, that's easy, Jim. It's cheap, and you get a lot of it." And I thought that was kind of funny for coming from a Jew. He was funny. He was funny that way.
They surprise you sometimes.
Yeah,
not
well,
that smart, but they can get good.
Yeah,
you know, for small time periods.
Atlanta, yeah, boy.
They have Jews have no analytical ability, and they have to have white men do that for them. In a corporation, they may be there because they're a Jew or part of the club, but when it comes down to actually running things, they have to have white men do that. There's no question. I've watched that. They cannot. It's just like Hitler said. They can't build anything. They can't make anything. They're essentially like all the other minorities.
Yeah. Speaking of building stuff, I sent white man an interesting link on the auto industry. The way it's a forum, and it's got amazing pictures from all of last century of some of the old buildings. I'll have to dig it up, and maybe I'll post it on this thread. Did you get? I know you're talking white man, but did you get a chance to see any of those pictures at all? That forum is loaded.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, man. Like I said, I'd like to go down and look at some and take pictures of those buildings. They're probably still there, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of those buildings are probably still standing.
You know what I'd love to do, and I'll make this a date. We'll go on a date. I still have a grandmother that lives in Troy, and I've been invited to a Feast of the Tabernacle a couple of times up to Pastor Wickstrom's place. And I'd kind of like to kill two birds with one stone. My grandmother, she's, you know, God bless her, she's up in her 90s now. And I hope I get a chance to see her before she passes on. But I'll look you up, and if you've got a camera, we'll ride, nigga. We'll get some skins and shit, and we'll get a bag of skins.
Get a 40 and some skins. Ooh.
And we'll just go around, and I could take you to some places. I'm sure they've only gotten worse. I'm sure nothing's gotten better. But, you know, I mean, I grew up right over on the east side of Detroit, and it's got to be at least, well, it's got to be 100 times worse than
it was. I mean, I don't really know. There's probably some historical stuff that I just don't know because, I didn't grow up in Detroit. But,
yeah.
You know, somebody like that would, you know, having you there would probably be pretty nice because you could give me some historical background. I could take that back when I make my...
Yeah, I could narrate the video. I could tell you the way it used to be back in the 60s. For example, we used to play baseball on the Northeastern High School football field, which was directly across the street from the house I grew up in, which was across the street from the old Packard Motor Company. You know, there's a lot of history in that town. And I'll tell you, I really get sick when I go, especially, there have been times where I've actually sat and cried looking at that Ruins of Detroit website. I really have.
Yeah.
It's so sad what's happened. And this has gone on in less than 50 years. I mean, it's turned into a third world nation in less than 50 years. Detroit, when I lived there in the 60s, was a booming town. I mean, you could quit school if you were 18 on your 18th birthday. You could go fill out a job application at any one of the big three. That would be Chrysler, Ford or Chevy, and you could literally be going to work the next day making, you know, real decent money, enough money to raise a family of four on.
Right, and replace you and your wife. You're not going to be able to do that now. You know?
Yeah, and it's all gone. That's all gone.
Yeah, it's sad.
In less than 40 years.
Yeah,
40 years, it's gone.
And our fathers, you know, they kind of knew what was happening, but they didn't do anything. My father you know, they were brainwashed too. They just didn't wake up quick enough. My father began to wake up late in life before he died, and it's up to us to. It doesn't take much to raise the awareness of your children.
Yeah. Well, they were brainwashed more than anybody. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, they were the ones who went over and killed their brothers and cousins in Germany and Italy. If you think about it, they were the brainwashed. Our grandparents, my grandparents, that generation was, well, it just goes on and on and on. I mean, you know, they were talked into killing their own people. If you think about it, that, how sick is that?
Right. And when you point that out, My father kind of died with the idea that, you know, maybe making drugs illegal was a bad thing, you know, and he surprised me, and we, you know, like, oh, what do you think that for? You know, well, you got to take the profit motive out of it. Well, that's kind of an anti-establishment type thought, and that's kind of the last idea I came up with. But, you know, you build on that, and then you realize that basically everything's a scam. Everything.
Everything
because it's
a
all
Jew scam.
Exactly.
No, it all is. I mean, you know, if you think about it, we're talked into killing people for the Jew, up to and including our own people.
Right.
And
how clever, you know, how stupid we are.
No, we are sheep. That's what the white race is. Sheep. I mean, somebody, you guys mentioned Jacob earlier in the Old Testament, and I'll be the first to admit that I've never, you know, I wasn't brought up, you know, thumping a Bible or anything, but I find what some of these guys talk about in the scriptures, these Christian identity guys and Pastor Wickstrom, who, you know, teaches racial covenant identity, I find a lot of that stuff interesting, only because it's the exact opposite of what the little bit that I do know about the Bible, the scriptures. The little bit that I do know, everything these guys say they can prove, it's just the exact opposite. I mean, Jacob was a white man. He wasn't a Jew. I mean, Jesus was not a Jew. I mean, this everything these guys talk about, and they can lead you to a spot in the scriptures where it's, you know, it can be proven.
Well, I don't know.
I don't want to turn this into a Bible hour, but... But I find...
Yankee Jim's Bible Hour.
Yeah, maybe I should do a show on Yankee Jim's... I'm just ignorant. I just don't know enough about it. But I don't know if you guys ever sat around and listened to Pastor Wickstrom. I've sat around a campfire with the guy in real time and sat around and talked about this stuff. And I used to listen to his shows pretty religiously, pun intended, when he used to have a show, a weekly show on the Hal Turner Radio Network. But I find the guy interesting, and like I said, it's only because they sit around and they point this stuff out. They just point out how our grandparents' generation and the generations before that, how misled they were, because they just wouldn't pick up a Bible and read the scriptures for themselves. They just, whatever they were taught, that was it. And I mean, if you start digging into that book, which I do, occasionally I do sit around and pick a Bible up, only because I've never read it. But and you know, when I hear these guys talking this stuff, it sounds wait a minute, you know, I've been led to believe that Jesus was a Jew, and you pick it up and you find out that it's just the exact opposite. It's interesting more than anything, and it's just proof of how easily misled our people are, to the point where they'll take up arms and kill their own people for the Jew. You have to laugh about it.
It's the ultimate embarrassment. Yeah,
you have to laugh about it, because if you don't laugh, I mean, how sick? It sounds pretty sick if you think about it. I mean, we went and slaughtered Germans, and Germans were killing us, and for what reason?
And how did they do it? It was through the media, through those stupid war reels, war propaganda movies, those little 2 or 3 minute black and white clips. Japs bomb Pearl Harbor, or Germans, you know. Everything was just total propaganda, and we were too stupid to see it. Our parents were.
Right. And not all of us, as someone pointed out just now, not all of us and not all of our parents, but most, I'll say most, I'd say 98% of the white race.
Right.
Are easily misled. I mean, you know what? Here's something I use when I'm talking to Bible thumpers. And you know, when I'm talking about World War II and how Germans were, how Americans were tricked into killing their German cousins and brothers in Germany, you just mentioned the old movie shorts and all that kind of stuff that was going on in the 30s and the 40s that our grandparents probably went to religiously. You know, most, right. You could assume most whites, what they did on a weekend, they, if they were able to afford, you know, a few shekels, they would go to the movie, houses. I mean, this, well, who were some of the most watched people in the world back then? It was the Three Stooges. And even the three, does anyone remember the old little short, with the hit, when Mo was Hitler and, no, this is some powerful stuff. I mean, because think about this. Who didn't watch The Three Stooges in the early 40s? I mean, everybody, the white race, you can only guess that, you know, hundreds of millions of white race saw Mo, and the underlying theme was, you know, we got to go kill Hitler. He's a bad guy. And if Mo said it, I mean, come on, it's got to be, I mean, well, if Mo says it, he's got to be a bad guy, because after all, he's Mo of the right. Three Stooges. I mean, that was a mindset of our ancestors, you know, our grandparents' generation.
And
98% of them.
The rest of the show is kind of designed to make white men look stupid and make them accept the Depression.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Those guys could never get a job. Remember, they're always trying to get a job.
Always
it up.
Yep. And did anyone look at the Three Stooges as Jews? Of course they didn't. They looked at
them as typical white men.
They were actors. Yeah. They were Jews.
Exactly. We thought the frizzy hair was just something you got from New York or something.
Yeah, that was just a joke. Stuck his finger. When he was running the plumbing, he stuck his finger in the. You remember that skit where he was, you know, the water came out of the light bulbs and the old black cook. That was one of the classic scenes where, you know, he did the double take and looked up at the water coming out of the light bulb, the nigger, and all you saw was the bright teeth, the white teeth. And
maybe that's why the Jew IQ is so high.
They'll
stick their fingers in light sockets.
Makes their hair curly.
Yeah. It's like my mom said, my mom grew up in Detroit, and she's like, I never even knew what a Jew was growing up in Detroit. I just thought that, you know, I just thought that anyone I saw with dark skin or dark hair was an Italian or something. She grew up on the east side of Detroit, so.
Sure.
But nobody knew who Jews were. I didn't know what Jews were when I grew up. When we moved over to the northwest side of Detroit, and white man, that would be like, say roughly, I could walk to the intersection of 7 Mile and Livernois, if you know where that is. I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
After, you know, just prior to the riots, all the niggers were starting to move to that section of town, and it was full of Jews. I think we were talking about this on VNNforum.com, and the place, I just recently discovered all this, you know, in the last, you know, 15 years or so. I never paid any attention to it growing up as a kid, but that whole section of Detroit was packed solid with kikes. They had their own little Jesu school, and they just literally controlled the whole northwest side of Detroit there. That was their little area, and I never knew this. Until the niggers started moving in, and then, you know, within a year, they all moved over to the other side of Livernois. And it was so funny, because these are the people who were always preaching, you know, about how we should all love one another and hug niggers and all this kind of stuff. But as soon as they started moving into their neighborhood, they were gone over to the other side of Livernois. And then, I think I worded this in a way on Dietrich's show. I think the moving up to the east side niggers, because over on the other side of Livernois, the houses, you know, you jumped from $18,000 houses to about $40,000 houses, and the niggers who were able to afford it, you know, the drug dealers and the Motown singers and all that, well, they started moving over onto the other side of Livernois, and that's when the Jews started all flocking over to Oak Park and Southfield and you know, those towns right along 8 Mile Road there, along the border. These hypocrites.
I just watched something on Alex's blog. I think it's Sunlit Heights or Kirksville today. But there was like this Edgar J. Steele reading of a Rockwell story about the hens. coming into the... Have you seen this? It's like a little cartoon that he's got up there.
Yeah,
it's so funny.
The
Rockwell, yeah, the hens and the...
The hens and the ducks. And the hens, the hens come up all out of breath to the fence. We're dying. Let us in.
Yeah.
That's something that I could let my kids listen to. It's kind of funny. Yeah, they would like that.
Yeah, Steele has a... He calls them like Penny... something like that. It's I'll Google it real quick. It's like Penny Rants or something like that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Penny Rants.
Nickel Rants.
Nickel Rants.
Yeah, they're 5 minutes long or something like that. But yeah, he has a bunch of those on his site. They're pretty good, most of them. He's a pretty interesting dude.
Oh, and by the way,
yeah,
white man, thanks for filling in tonight.
Oh, not a problem.
You know, when you've got guys like me with no life.
I'm the same way.
it makes it great. And when I said earlier that you're a natural, please do a regular show if you're able to do so. Whatever it takes. I mean, if you want me to call in and just sit around and talk about the old days in Detroit, I'd be willing to do that if you need a hand. Because, you know, like Alex said earlier, we need people to start, you know, getting the word out, and you're pretty good at it with your blog and the radio show, and I see you're going to start doing video on the YouTube thing there.
Yeah, I've got all that YouTube. I just put out a radio show. It's only like 15 minutes or so, but I just did that from my blog.
Up on the blog?
Yeah.
My internet's been down for about three days. So
yeah,
I just did a
15 minute news roundup thing that I just put together real quick, and I'd like to do some more of that. Just local stories here.
Yeah.
I just went over some of the more interesting ones, but yeah, I did that. So yeah, I've got a YouTube channel up for my blog now. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, just keep it. You know what? Just keep it toned down. Because you'd hate to see, especially on YouTube, I mean, you know.
Right. I keep it pretty, I think on YouTube, as long as you, it seems to me like they're pretty, as far as comments and things like that go, they're pretty lenient as far as comments. Like, they only really get into deleting stuff if the actual video that you upload is,
yeah,
you know, politically incorrect, what have you. But, I mean, as long as you keep your titles, like, in your descriptions, you keep, you know...
Now, let's be realistic here. If you got some Jew that's going to start, you know, ratting you out and whining...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, they're going to dump your content, no matter if it's Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Oh, yeah, I leave everything out of my YouTube channel that anyone could possibly... whine about any Jew, anti out there could whine about to them, but yeah,
and they will.
Yeah,
blog becomes more popular, and as Jews in your area become aware of it, you're going to have stalkers that are going to follow you, and
yay,
they're going to just want stuff to go report. You remember the little kid in school that always had to go report you to the teacher?
The fucking tattletale.
Well, they're going to be ratting you out to YouTube.
Tattletale, kike.
And you know, as pussy-ish as it sounds, I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet, but, you know, the use of the word nigger on the vlogs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I'd hate to see somebody with all the work that a lot of you guys put into your blogs. I've been slacking lately, and I'll be the first to admit it, but I really, especially on the blogs, I really try to keep it. I'm like a pussy, because I know that there are Jews in my area that are stalking me and following my blog. And if I'm not mistaken, I think if you use the word nigger, I think that's a terms of service violation. And if somebody reports you, you know, I mean, you got all that work that's going to go right down the shitter.
Right. Well, what I'm going to do soon is it's $10 a year to register your own domain name for my blog. So pretty soon I'll just have DetroitIsCrap.com.
Oh, great.
I'll use the blogger service to upload stuff to my site, but they can't say diddly squat
about what's on your site.
Well,
yeah,
you know, maybe the host could pull me, but you know, there's less of a chance of that happening.
I've been thinking the same thing, Yankee Jim. I've got my little blog going, and I said, you know, spick on there one time, you know, apostrophe S-P-I-C. And but that's about as, you know, I don't want to go too far because I kind of want to make it a news site too.
Well, you know what it is? You know, like I said, the little bit that I'm doing of copying and pasting and just adding a few paragraphs of my own, I don't do nearly what you guys do, especially you white man. I'm actually envious of your blog. And like you say, it gets fun. I mean, it becomes a challenge. But it's different when you're in Detroit. I mean, there's just an endless supply of material. I mean,
oh yeah,
you could
He's
do it in your
easy
sleep.
Up there. Try and write about
don't
something.
Don't get me wrong.
Here.
You know, well, in Atlanta, come on, let's be realistic. For a while there, they held the murder capital of the world.
Oh yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Oh, now we're just the chlamydia capital of the world. By the way,
DeKalb County is a it's like a herpes or something, herpes capital or something, herpes center.
Yeah. Well, we can all dig and find material, and the good thing is that we can tell the stuff that the mainstream leaves out, which is the meat of the story.
Everything important.
Once you got people following this, let me tell you something, they get addicted. I have people that send me emails and they're starving for this kind of stuff. But the thing is, you gotta make sure that they're aware of this kind of you gotta be creative in getting the word out and I've been doing well, like I said, I've been slacking lately. I'm gonna get back into it. But you have to be creative.
I like going to like random forums, and then acting like I'm some like really pissed off Jew that somebody made my blog, you know, and like registering, be like, look at this horrible blog. It's
whatever
so
it takes.
I hate these people, and like I've done that a couple times, and I've gotten like
I've done that.
Or so links from it. It's pretty funny.
Oh,
all these people are like responding to me like, oh yeah, man, that's horrible. I can't believe people are doing that.
whatever you have to do to get the word out. Up to and including. I mean, when the weather breaks, if it comes down to making up flyers, whatever it takes, and going into white neighborhoods, newspaper, whatever. Yeah, buying 1,000 papers of the White Patriot Leader and making a little flyer with your, unless there's already in the White Patriot Leader, I'm sure that's going to be in the next issue. I'm sure somebody's going to make it a point to list all the local blogs. But in your own area, whatever it takes, I mean, find the forums, and I'm sure both of you guys do this kind of stuff. I've gone so far as, I'll take a story, say for example, white man out of the Daily, out of the Free Press. I will dig up every single email address available at the Daily, at the Free Press and the News, and send them an article that's on your blog with the meat in it that they left out, and make sure that everybody in the newspaper, from the right on down the list. I mean, I've had emails where I've sent to newspapers and police departments that I've actually laughed at. That's how many carbon copies were. I mean, you know, there were hundreds of people, and you got to make sure that they all see that the person in the next cubicle gets it.
Yeah.
So, because they all got to know that everyone else in their newsroom got it, and you know they're going to be looking around. Hey, did you see that article that guy sent? Did you see that racist website? And it starts spreading because there are people in those newsrooms and on those police departments. There are people that like what they see. I mean, you know, they can't talk about it, but they go back.
You never know when you're going to get a hit. I mean, you just never know.
You
some
don't
people
know.
That you think that had a guy I used to work with, and he was like this Nazi reenactor, you know, who got into kind of the German uniforms and the war stuff, and he would actually met with this group of people that went out and reenacted battles and stuff, and he had his head shaved, and I emailed him via his website, and he goes, I don't look at hate sites. That's all he said.
You have to try, though. I mean, you know, he's one of the ones who's, you know, he's. And we were all there, I think. I think there was a time in my life where I would have said, you know, this is going back, you know, before the advent of the internet. But I'm sure there was a point in my life where I would have said, I don't go to hate sites.
Yeah.
Look at me now. I mean, you know.
You're a hater.
I have one of the most popular. If you go to Google, and I think White Man was the one that pointed this out. Somebody, I didn't even know how to do it. I'm not a computer guy. Somebody went to Google blog search, and they said, "Hey, Jim, your blog happens to be the most popular blog in the Hudson Valley." So,
oh yeah, yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
It spreads. Nice. People are starving for this kind of truth, especially. One thing I like to focus on, you know, whenever something bad happens to a cop, there was a shootout up here in the town of Newburgh, which is sort of like an Inkster. Instead of having being full of Inkster bunnies, it's full of Newburgh bunnies. And one of them, and you started shooting at the cop, and the cop nailed him. I mean, he shot back and he popped him in the head, and that was the end of the guy. And they were going to riot and all this kind of stuff. Well, what I did was I gave my take on it and showed a little support for the police department, and I flooded every single along the Hudson River, every police department along the Hudson River got a copy of my article showing, you know, how we support what you did. And, you know, you're talking about niggers shooting at cops. I mean...
And emails to local people, I can tell you, they take them seriously because they don't get that many.
Exactly.
Everybody's asleep. I emailed my sheriff. I said, what are you doing about all the Mexicans around here? There's just so many illegal aliens everywhere.
Oh, they got to play the game. Come on, they got to play the game. But you know damn good and well that there are some of them that deep down inside, they can relate to what we're talking about because they deal with this nigger scum all day long.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, me being the wise guy that I am, I tried to make a big deal out of it. You know, I was Hal Turner when he had that rally up here in Kingston. I started a headline, Hal Turner may return back to Kingston, or to Newburgh. How do you do this? This was going to be a rally in support of the police. Now you tell me, and the police chief sent me, you know, he was in the local paper. I don't want this guy coming up here and throwing a rally for us. How can you not want a guy supporting, you know, throwing a rally in support of the police? That alone gets the cops to talking. I mean, wait a minute. Here's a guy. He's a white guy. Okay, the newspaper says he's a racist, but he supports us. I mean, he supported me blowing that nigger's brains out who was shooting at me.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, people, believe me, there are cops, and believe me, I'm not a friend of most police officers, although I do have a few friends that are on the job. And I do get inside stories here and there from down in New York City and also up here. And these people deal with this scum all day long. They know who the bad guys are. And they know it's not us.
Yeah, I think the sheriff's office is more honest than the local newspaper, I've noticed so far. I mean, I get more of a response if I ask the sheriff a question. You know, they'll answer you. Local paper, if you say, you left this out, hadn't got any response yet. I'm going to keep trying.
I've done that myself. I've called
back as a generalized probably email. I mean, I've done that before, and the guy was like, I emailed some guy, and I was like, yeah, you know, your story. It was like on a leafletting story, you know, Nazi literature or something. And I was like, yeah, you know, your story is exactly the same as the. The past 150 stories I've read on this, is there some like boilerplate template that you guys use? And he's like, oh well, he actually had kind of a discourse with me, but he sent me two back. He's like, I really don't think I'm the right person to get into this argument with you. But he out and out told me, he's like, I'm white, and my wife's white, and my kids are white, and you know I'm proud to be white, but I just write stupid fucking stories. And that's basically what he told me, and he basically said, I don't want to talk about it. So, I mean, that's if anything, that's usually what you get. Either that or it's like a rabbit, you know, foaming at the mouth Jew email. But
well, the white guys, like you're talking about right now, you know, when you get a guy like me with no life, I find it fun to call them and just pick their brains and sort of like lay the guilt trip on them and just make them feel very low. Like they know they should be reporting this, but they know why they can't, but they won't tell you that. And then you can get down to like recording the conversations, you know, if it's legal to do so, in your state, and you can add that kind of stuff to your blog too. You can make this fun.
What's a good way to record a conversation and to transfer it to the internet? What's the process?
I've never done that. I've got an old microcassette. They do have MP3 recorders out. I'm sure White Man he'd be all up on that.
If you want to record a call, I mean, you could go to Radio Shack and buy these little like suction cup microphones you stick on the back of your phone, like right behind the ear set.
They got an MP3. I looked into it because I received during that rally a few death threats, and I had to record the phone calls to take to the Ulster County Sheriff. And believe me, I made a big deal out of that also. But I cheaped out, and I think for $80 I bought one of those microcassette dictaphones, the ones that you see the radiologists talking into. Yeah. And there's a little thing that you can plug right into the telephone. You can go right through the recorder with the phone.
Yeah.
But I think it was for a couple $100. It's probably cheaper now, but you could get MP3 recorders
that you can use on
the phone.
Which are easier because you can put it on your computer.
And then it's digital. You might have a card. And you just stick it on your card reader. That would be a good way,
guys, on that note,
you ready
to
go?
Cut you off, though, but
I enjoy talking to you guys.
Sleep is good.
Likewise.
So, thanks for calling in, Kike Herder. Appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. Please call in again.
Sure.
I'm probably going to get a show going on Wednesday night. Sounds like it's probably going to be a sure thing. So
great.
Definitely call in. You're a good guest to have. I've enjoyed it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Don't get banned from the forum anymore.
You know, I'm kind of like Todd in Florida or maybe Mark in Cali. I get a little angry
on the
forum. You know,
if you get banned, you can still call in.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, that's good. Whatever works.
It's
banned, call in.
Yeah, I mean, so now I just read the forum and I enjoy it, and there's great news on there. That's my main news source right now, and I enjoy it. And just call in, or I talk to Jeff sometimes.
Yeah, well, thanks for calling in.
Sure.
And have a good night. Appreciate it.
You too.
Yep. See you. All right.
Take care, White Man.
All right. You have a good one.
Good show. Yeah. I'm out of here.
All right. Bye. And I guess that's Free Talk Live for Friday. Jeff, are you there? Do you want to send us out here? Okay, Jeff's just going to close down. Thanks for listening. VNN Broadcasting, Free Talk Live, Friday night. And we'll go ahead and shut down the feed. Stay white.
Free Talk Live is a production of Vanguard News Network Broadcasting.